today as we come to the table.
It was from the ruin and the destruction of the explosion that God brought this beautiful island and city into existence. Maybe you feel today your life has exploded. You feel that it's been completely ruined. There's no way God could do anything. Everything is just blown up like a volcano and there's no restoration of it. Oh, listen to me, fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. It may be that very explosion. It may be that very ruin that took place that God is going to use and take those ashes and transform it into something in your life that is more beautiful than you ever dreamed or imagined.
What can grow from the ashes of a shattered life? In today's message, Pastor Mark shares how God turned an island's ruin from a volcanic explosion into beauty. Your life might feel like it's exploded, leaving nothing but destruction. But God can take those very ashes and transform them into something amazing. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. You may think there's no way for restoration, but the ruin you see isn't the end. It's where God's work can begin. Like a master artist, he reshapes brokenness into beauty beyond your imagination. Trusting him turns despair into hope. Do you see God working through your life's ruins to create something new? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts, chapter 28, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Notice what happens here in verse 4. Look what it says. It says, again, the viper came out and latched onto his hand, fastened to his hand. By the way, the word fastened there means it latched on. It gives a picture of just, I'm not letting go. I mean, it dug deep, just bam, and was firmly into his hand. And it says in verse 4, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. Now, again, the natives see this event, and they saw it as the judgment of their gods. Incidentally, on that island, they worshiped a god by the name of, you guessed it, Justice. So when they saw this, they said, no doubt justice is taking action against Paul. They knew the boat was filled with prisoners. And so they figured, well, Paul's one of those prisoners that although he survived this horrible ordeal, he did something so horrible that now the God of justice is going to come in and take him out. And so that's how they viewed it. Now, on their behalf, remember, they didn't know the gospel yet. They didn't know about the things of the Bible. And most people in this day believed in the gods and the false gods. So this would have been very normal, although wrong. But now God is going to use this to bring them out of this deception that they're in and bring them into the truth of the gospel. Once again, allowing Paul to be in a dangerous situation to bring God glory so that God could show his power to those that were there on the island. Again, using it all for the gospel. And I don't want you to forget, to lose that sight of that. All of this is used by God for promoting of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the fact that he died for them on the cross and for us and rose again from the grave. And so, again, they make the same mistake here. They're saying, again, God is judging him. It's false judgment. But I want to make a point about this before we go on, because oftentimes we see other believers around us where the enemy seems to strike or something bad happens in their life. And someone will say, well, they're probably being judged by God. Guys, we have to be so careful about that. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's when the enemy strikes that it's actually we're doing exactly what God called us to do. So we have to be careful not to judge by sight. We have to judge by the fruit and by the evidence. And oftentimes when you're doing the greatest work you can for God, that's when things begin to get the toughest. And so we have to make sure that we're not passing those judgments because we don't know. It could be the fact that someone's right in the middle of God's will rather than actually out of God's will and being chastised. And so just be aware of that and realize that we can't be falsely judging one another. They were falsely judging Paul. And look what it says in verse 5. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. This would have blown the natives' minds. Now, there's several things to note here. First of all, the word fastened here, back in verse 3, I already pointed that out. But literally, it means that he was hanging on as tightly as he could. Paul just shook him off in the fire. And what's my point? Guys, I love this. Look, when we're serving God and doing what God has called us to do, no matter how firmly the enemy strikes and holds on to us, guys, God has given the ability to us just to shake it off. Shake it off in the fire. And what do I mean by that? I'm not, belittling the fact that the trial is real and the strike of the serpent may not be difficult. But there has to come a point where we trust God and say, God, look, you allowed this to happen in my life. I don't know why it happened, but you allowed it. And you know what we have to do? We have to shake it off. Just shake it off and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand it. I know you're going to use it for your glory. Now, Paul's going to see how God does use it for his glory here very shortly, because again, he's going to use it to open up a door to minister, not just to the natives, but the leadership of the island. And God oftentimes opened doors to minister to the leadership that was there everywhere that Paul went. We saw that in Ephesus when they had the uproar. Remember, they went into the Temple of Diana. They left the Temple of Diana rather and went into the Ephesian theater. They were saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." We saw that a while back in Acts, doing that for 2 hours and all that happened there. And it says that Paul wanted to go in to address the crowd, but the leaders, some of the important people of the city, said, "Paul, don't go in there. Because if you do that, then they're gonna wipe you out." So Paul didn't go in, but God didn't just open doors for Paul among the common people. God opened doors for Paul among the leaders of these cities, and that's what God is gonna do here with these leaders of this island as well. But again, I wanna make another point of this. It's interesting that Paul just shook off the serpent. You know, this is where the understanding of Mark 16, verses 14 through 18 comes into play. And I want to read this to you. Listen to what it says. It says, "Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief," this is after his resurrection, "and their hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" Now, here's the verse I want you to focus on in the context of where we are. Listen to what it says, verse 17. "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." In other words, what God is saying here is that if we go out in the name of the Lord, under his power and authority, directed by him, God will supernaturally protect us even in dangerous situations. Even if the serpent, literally a serpent strikes, God will protect us in the midst of that. I remember being in Romania on a mission trip many years back, and we were invited to some of the more poor areas to minister to the people there. And there was this poor family that invited us to come in, and we'd been warned when we got there, "Don't drink the water. You'll be very, very sick unless you know what water to drink." And so we took water with us and all the things when you travel. Sometimes it's not necessarily the water that's bad in the nation as much as our bodies aren't used to their water, and we can actually get sick. Sometimes there is something wrong in the water in certain areas, and we have to be very careful. But I remember we went into this one home, and the woman of the home was very kind, quickly bringing us water to drink. I believe it was her bringing water out to drink. And I remember looking at that water, and it was murky. And I remember thinking, okay, first of all, we're not supposed to be drinking the water here at all. Now I've got this murky water, but I didn't want to offend her because she had done such a sweet thing by bringing it out. You can only say so long and so many times, "No, thank you." Very insistent. So I trusted God. I said, "All right, God, you promised that you'd protect me." I drank it and I didn't get sick. God was faithful to his word. Now, the argument could be made, well, Mark, it wouldn't have made you sick anyway, but it sure looked like it would have. The point is, a lot of people misunderstand this passage, and they think that when they read this, again, this is where we have a lot of the snake handling in the South and some people drinking poison. That's not what this is saying. That's actually testing God. We're not supposed to be doing that. God didn't say, "Try to hold snakes and try to drink poison to prove me." That's no different than when Satan said to Jesus, "Throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple and God will protect you. The angels will bear you on their wings safely down to the ground." No, that's testing of God. Now, what he's saying is in this passage is, look, you go out in my name, these dangerous things happen, I will protect you. So Paul now knew that he had to go to Rome. He knew that God was going to complete his word. And at the same time, Paul now is trusting in the word of God where he told them, no doubt Paul knowing this passage by then, "Lord, you said that I won't be harmed." And God was no doubt ministering to Paul that he would be okay. And literally he was okay. And so I think it's important that we recognize, again, that passage there and the way that it's to be used. God will keep us safe and we can trust in him until he gets us to the place where he's ready to bring us into the kingdom. You know, anytime you're traveling or anytime you're living life or things happen, you're not going anywhere until God says so. So Paul wasn't going to go anywhere until God said so. God said, even if the serpent strikes, you're going to be okay. So God did it. Paul was okay. And notice what happens here in verse 7. And it says this in verse 7, verse 6, however, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, again, because of this poisonous viper. But after he had looked at him for a long time, they saw no harm come to him, and they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, that's, a very conclusion most people would come to in that situation. Obviously, I'm being silly. Let me not pick on the natives of the land again. Remember, they believed in all these gods. And so, as far as they knew, Paul could have literally been some god at that point that it appeared to them. And this wasn't the first time or the last time, or again, there was a time before this, I should say, where they did believe that Paul was a god in his travels. And so this was common, but Paul again is going to use this to turn the eyes back to the Lord. And we're going to see the people, God is going to use this to open a door for them to recognize that there's a God in Paul's life that is doing something supernatural. They knew that this couldn't be a normal thing. No one could do this without God doing it. And so what was happening now in Paul's life, they recognized that God was working. And note this, God will do things in your life to open up the eyes around you, as we noted earlier, sometimes even supernatural things, so that people can recognize that you are a servant of God, and it will open up a door to minister to them. Again, I can remember when I first came to the Lord. Many of you know my background. I was into drugs and alcohol and really was trapped, imprisoned in that world. And I remember praying to the Lord saying, God, I can't be free of this. I'm imprisoned. I mean, I thought that I was the one running the show. And then I realized, no, it's running me. So I cried out to God and said, God, look, if you're real, I want to know you. And only you can set me free from the drugs and alcohol. It's taken my life and I need you to help me. And when God entered my life, when I gave my life to the Lord, he took a hold of me. He not only rescued me and forgave me of my sins, he removed the drugs and alcohol from me. He set me free. And I didn't even need any of the classes and the AA stuff and all that drug stuff. The courts assigned that to me, but I did it, but I didn't need that. I was already free by then. And people around me that knew that I was trapped beforehand and saw that I was now free, that was astounding to them. I would hear comments like, you can't just quit drinking if you're an alcoholic. You can't just quit taking drugs if you're a drug addict. You can't just do this. And I was like, no, you're right. I can't. But God can. And even as God set me free, God can set you free as well. And it would open up a door for the gospel and for ministry. I remember being at the AA meetings they required me to go to. Remember, in the AA meetings, you've got to stand up, you know, and say, well, my name is so-and-so and I'm an alcoholic. I was able to stand up in front of that group for all those meetings and say, my name is Mark and I used to be an alcoholic. But Jesus Christ, by the power of God, set me free. And so God can do the same thing for you. You're saying right now, look, I'm trapped in something. I can't be set free. It's impossible. No, you can't be. And you're right. It is impossible in your own power. But if you will cry out to God right now and you'll say, God, I give my life to you. Please forgive me of my sins. Set me free by the power of your Holy Spirit. God can and will do that. If you mean it, he means it. And I've experienced that in my life, so I can say that with great confidence. He will do that for you. But God used that in my life to open up a door to minister to those around me. And God is now using this to open up a door for Paul to minister to those there in Malta. And listen to what it says in verse 7. It says, in the region there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Now, this leading citizen, literally, it means magistrate or governing figure on the island, noticed Paul and what he was doing and showed unusual kindness again. Publius literally means popular, which could have been his name. Maybe his mom said, you're going to be popular. You're a cute kid. I know that most moms would want to say that about their kid. But also, it could have just been a title. Even as Herod was a title, it could be that Publius on that island at that time was a title. We don't know for sure. But either way, he was known and addressed as Publius. And so God's giving favor here to this leader of the island, which is going to open up even further doors to reach people there on the island in ministry. And notice it says he entertained and took care of us. Now, was that Paul and Luke and Aristarchus who were traveling with him, or was it the whole 276 that were on that ship? We don't know for sure. But what we do know is that God was opening a door for all of them to see the power of God. And now we're seeing how they're being taken care of, especially Paul and his companions, by the Lord on this journey. So notice what happens. It says, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him, and he healed him. Again, it's interesting. It's my understanding that on this island, there's still a particular sickness on Malta today that can give you dysentery. And again, it's such a horrible dysentery. It's not just like losing body fluids for a short amount of time, which can still be very dangerous. This dysentery in that day, and apparently what can still happen, of course, they have modern medicines to fight it better now, but in that day, they said it would go on for months at a time. Can you imagine throwing up and all the other body fluids being lost for months and months, trying to stay hydrated, trying to stay alive, the misery that you'd be in during that time? There's no doubt this Publius, well, he was a desperate man. And I think about his situation, and now God is going to use that desperation to open up a door for him now to receive the gospel. So God has now set up another situation. Remember, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God's now opening another door for Paul to be able to minister to this man in the midst of this situation. And now, as he had shown them kindness, Paul can now show him kindness. And now we come to one of the other things in Mark 16 that we noted and saw just a moment ago, and that is, remember, it also said, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now God's going to do that through Paul for Publius. Now again, doesn't mean every person is going to be healed and recover, but it does mean that oftentimes there will be those that do recover, and so we need to pray for them when God opens up that door. And I've seen God do amazing miracles and do healings through even me before. So God can use you. If he can use me, I know he can use you. It's interesting here. I don't want you to miss this as well. There's a certain word that's used there for healing in the Greek. And what it means is it's a healing that specifically draws attention to the fact that it was the supernatural and that it was God. In other words, God's making it clear, Paul couldn't do this. This was not the norm. I'm doing this. So we see supernatural things were happening. But remember, Paul also had Dr. Luke traveling with him, and most believe that Luke is the author of the book of Acts. And so he would have the ability to be a doctor and minister to people in just very normal ways that weren't supernatural. You have natural and supernatural. Well, the language here also reveals that they were being healed naturally. So we see two words used, one showing supernatural healing, one showing natural healing. And why would God include both of those? Well, first of all, so that we wouldn't doubt God's supernatural ability to heal, and we would know that God can heal, but also to let us know it's okay to go to the doctor. There's nothing wrong with antibiotics. Again, God uses both supernatural and natural healing, and that is what God was doing here with Publius and Paul and those on the island. And notice what it says there in verse 9. So it says, Paul went into him, right at the end of verse 8, and laid hands on him, and he was healed. And so verse 9, when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. Now, I love this because, again, the others on the island hear about what Paul and Publius have been doing, the fact that Publius was healed. They knew, no doubt, their leader, one of their magistrates, had been sick for a long time. Suddenly, this Paul, the one they'd heard, no doubt, that shook the snake off, the viper into the fire. Now he's praying for their leader, and the leader's being healed. And so, again, this was a healing here that was taking place. Again, God showing the island, I'm here in power, and God was really saving an island. It was the gospel outreach to this island, not just in word, but in deed and in power. And so notice what it says here in verse 10, they also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. So they were there on the island, they showed them great honor and favor as they were there on the island, and again, providing all their needs, no doubt giving them special care and special attention in the midst of these needs because of how God was using them in this particular situation. And so as we come to the end of this, I want you to notice how God used this terrible shipwreck on the island of Malta for his glory. Paul and those with him leave the island with provisions, great honor, ruined lives mended with many people believing in the gospel. And isn't that exactly how God works today? God will take, again, as we said, all things and make them work together for the good. You know, it's interesting. On our trip, we went to a couple of Greek islands, and one of them we went to was Santorini. Beautiful island. You've probably seen pictures of it in magazines. It's all these white buildings all over the top of this beautiful Greek island, the ocean right there, the blue ocean, and they cover some of the tops of the buildings. These domes are covered in blue, and it's just a beautiful whitewashed buildings with blue and then the blue ocean. It's truly an amazingly gorgeous place. But it was interesting as they began to share the history with us of Santorini. There's a beautiful bay that we came in on and were able to drive around to go into the island. And when we saw the pictures of what it used to be basically completely filled in as a volcano. It was an island, but it was a giant volcano many, many years back before all this happened. I think in history they know of two times that it has exploded. Well, the first time it exploded, I believe the first time, don't quote me on that, but when it exploded one of these times, it blew out the whole middle section and the ocean came in. And now when you look down from Santorini, this just devastating explosion that just destroyed the island opened up this massive cavern right there between two parts of land. And now there's this beautiful blue bay, which is why they built these houses up there and these places where people wanted to live, because it's just astounding. It's just immensely gorgeous, is all I can say. You have to see it to really understand. But what is my point in all this? It really struck me as I was looking at that and thinking about God using all things and working all things together, as we say, taking ashes and making beauty. It was from the ruin and the destruction of the explosion that God brought this beautiful island and city into existence. Maybe you feel today your life has exploded. You feel that it's been completely ruined. There's no way God could do anything. Everything is just blown up like a volcano, and there's no restoration of it. Oh, listen to me, fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. It may be that very explosion. It may be that very ruin that took place that God is going to use and take those ashes and transform it into something in your life that is more beautiful than you ever dreamed or imagined. And so rather than despairing of that, if you're sitting there saying, that's my life, Pastor, you just described it. I'm the one that has blown up and ruined in all places. Nothing but just rocks laying everywhere in destruction. Do this. Pray to the Lord. And we'll pray in just a moment together. Say, God, take this ruin and explosion of life and mold me into something new. Mold my life into something new. Use this in the lives of those around me to do something new for your glory. And it's interesting. No one saw the destruction and the ruin that happened until they came later and found it. And maybe just like our lives, no one sees it until they find out about us and our life and how messed up we are, right? But everyone today that goes by that Greek island goes, oh my goodness, how beautiful is that? Listen to me, fellow saints in the Lord, God is making you beautiful. Pray to the Lord and say, God, take this ruin, this destruction, transform me into a beautiful place for those that can be used to minister to those, and they can see the glory of God, because it's not only just so that your life would be beautified, but it's so that it opens up a door of ministry for those around you. And I want to pray as we finish today, I want to pray that God will do just that in your life, that He will take whatever's going on and work all things together. As it says in Romans 8:28, even as we started, know this, and listen to what Paul says here again, and we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love God, for those who are the called according to His purpose. If you know Jesus Christ, that's you. And I want to pray now that God would not only give you that peace in your heart that's you, but that God would now use that in your life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for the ministry of Your Word and the Spirit today. And God, no doubt in this room, there are some that feel completely ruined. They feel that their life has completely exploded. Lord, it's like a volcano. The damage is immeasurable. It could be a destroyed marriage, a destroyed family, a destroyed job, a destroyed life, whatever the case might be. God, Your Word says that if we run to You and we confess our sin and ask You to forgive us and trust in You, that You, Lord, will take ashes and make beauty out of them. And Lord, I think of that island, what You did, the beauty You created, God, for every believer in this room right now. I pray You would take those ruined lives and You would make beauty, God, something much greater than the island of Santorini in the Greek Isles could ever be. Something, Lord, that is not just beautiful to look at, but Lord, on the inside, the fruit that comes out of their lives and the ministry of their lives to those around them and the doors that it opens for the gospel. We thank You, God, for the work of Your Spirit and give You all the glory for what You've done today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Throughout the New Testament book of Acts, we see how the early church grew through faith, perseverance, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Despite opposition and persecution, the apostles and early believers remained steadfast, spreading the gospel with boldness and love. The Christian journey isn't meant to be lived out alone. From the very beginning, God designed His church to be a community of believers who support, encourage, and strengthen one another. Are there Christian brothers and sisters in your life who have walked alongside you in faith? Have they encouraged you during difficult seasons and helped you grow in your relationship with Jesus? Take time today to thank them and to thank God for placing them in your life. Be a source of encouragement to others, carrying each other's burdens and demonstrating the love of Christ. Come to the Table is the broadcast ministry of Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you'd like to visit us in person, we'd love to meet you. Service times can be found on our website, thewaymedia.net. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. Just scroll down and find the link to Calvary Knoxville. If you can't make it in person, you can still join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app, which you can download from your app store or directly from thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today. But we pray that you've been encouraged by our study in the book of Acts. We look forward to having you join us again next time, right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.